Hey, welcome to another version of the Pastor Duke Podcast, coming to you from Rock Hill, South Carolina. We love living in the South, but we do miss many of our New York family friends. But this is where God has us for now. Today we do a prophetic issue. I like to call it living in the shadows of the Antichrist. Maui, money, and COVID too. COVID is coming again. Hope I'm wrong on these things, but let's dive into the Word of God together. And let's dive into what is happening around us and see how it all fits together. I have my Bible open to 1st Epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Apostle John writing, actually it's the Holy Spirit writing through John, was directly exposing the demonic false teaching of the ancient Gnostics, which had morphed into a false type of Christianity. Remember, Jesus said, there shall enter in among you false teachers. Well, Jesus knew what he was talking about. It was happening. The Gnostics felt that all matter is evil. They said Jesus was good. That is true. And therefore, Jesus was not really, actually, and physically come into the world. The resurrection was a thought. It was a fantasy. It was allegorically interpreted away from the biblical truth, and John was having nothing to do with that. John has the testimony of being a sweet, loving apostle, and here he is kicking the false teachers behinds. But he is straight up biblically ruthless. I love it. You got to love him for that. Have you noticed? Unpopular in today's version of Christianity to expose heretics, to expose the money-grabbing ministers. Well, that's exactly what the spirit of Antichrist has always done. Now I finish the verse. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have been heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. He silences the voices of biblical truth tellers. Well, he doesn't silence them all, though he tries to. He promotes false teaching. He makes the true voice of God's prophetic teachers to sound politically incorrect, to sound harsh, to sound absurd, all the while the popularity of the health and wealth weasels, health and wealth weasels continue to pervert the truth of the gospel. They bastardize their filthy doctrine all the way to the bank. One day it will all be revealed and will be found out how many people were turned away from the gospel truth because of their false gospel. And one day soon they will face the true God with their selfish lies, with their biblical heresy, and they will pay a severe price. Remember the price of false penalty for false preachers in the Old Testament? Death. And they're going to stand before the God who said that. I guess I kind of chased a rabbit right from the start of this podcast. But those of you who follow me are used to that. Normally it's not till I get well established into the message. But I get so fired up watching our biblical illiterate society falling prey to these religious hucksters. So forgive me for getting emotionally involved. I just want to see people know Jesus, have everlasting life, go to heaven someday, and get new bodies and live happily ever after for eternity. So forgive me for that. My main point here from the text is this: even now, the spirit of Antichrist is in our world. The spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of Satan himself, who hates all that Jesus is, Jesus does, and Jesus will do. Keep that in mind. Let's get a quick biblical reminder of who Satan is. From the lips of Jesus, he's the father of all lies and murder from the beginning, John 8:44. He's more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, Genesis 3:1. He's an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14 and 15. Therefore, it is no great thing that his minister, Satan has ministers, oh yes, his ministers be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They preach a works-based salvation, perhaps Satan's greatest lie of all. You get to heaven by being good enough. Well, if that were true, why would Jesus have to die? You see, he has been out to pervert the gospel from the very beginning. That's exactly what my liberal Protestant pastor taught my family when I was a child at St. John's United Church of Christ in downtown Mansfield, Ohio. I thought if I could be a good boy, I'd have a chance at heaven. Well, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So I was brought up with that lie. And thank you, Jesus, for sending somebody to tell me the truth so the Word of God, the truth, can set me free. Don't forget, the greatest deceptions come from the greatest deceiver. Jesus warned us over and over and over again about the last days before his second advent. Be not deceived. He said of those last days that the deception would be so great that even if possible, many of the elect would be blinded. Matthew 24, verse 24. Now to mention my title again. In the shadow of the Antichrist. That's where we're at. For a shadow to physically happen, you need two things. Number one, you need an object. Number two, you need light, a light source. So as the light of prophetic truth shines on the object of today's realities in the news, a prophetic shadow is cast, and we live in those shadows. I like to call them the shadows of biblical expectancy. No surprise to me to see what happened in Maui. Here's how it all fits into the bigger prophetic picture. Never believe what you are told by the mainstream media. The mainstream media gives the devil's spin promoting his agenda. Their report was a natural brush fire, went viral. It just took off as it was fanned by those horrific winds. So when any big event happens, number one, listen to their lies, knowing that they're lies. Don't believe a word of it, but listen to it. Number two, wait for the truth seekers. I think you and I are truth seekers, and there's a lot of great people out there, courageous people, finding out the real facts. Number three, expect to hear a totally different story when the facts start trickling in. Number four, start fitting things together. And expect the mainstream media to attack you, to name call you, to shame you, and silence you in any way they can. If they can't silence you, they're litigating people who are the truth tellers, taking away their monies through defending themselves by litigation. And so it's a battle. It's the battle between God and Satan, good and evil, battle for the souls of men, for the minds of people, to deceive even the very elect. For Maui, first suspicions was when I saw the fire site. You had the ocean, non-combustible. You had the winds coming off of the water containing no fire. Then immediately you have the stone seawall, non-combustible. Then you had four lanes of stopped traffic. We found out from those who survived that the police literally stopped the traffic flow from getting out of town on either side of the mountain. Oh my. You see four lanes of traffic of all burned out vehicles. The aluminum wheels melted off of the cars. I'm told it takes 1,220 degrees Fahrenheit for aluminum to melt. Then you had hundreds of incinerated human bodies in the cars, including many children, which takes 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit to fully incinerate people to that degree. There was no fuel to create this inferno at that point. They're blaming it on brush. There was no brush between the ocean and those cars. It was not a natural occurring situation at the coastline, for sure. Then, mingled among all the burnout cars, the burnout homes and businesses were trees unharmed. And just as fast as the fire hits, we saw the closing down and sealing off of all evidence. They sealed off the fire site. Keep the evidence away from the truth finders and the truth seekers. Cover up. And that cover up only screams of their guilt. It wasn't a natural disaster at all. It was a well-planned, high-tech, perfectly timed murder of innocent people and land grab by those in power. Political power and financial power combined. Did you notice nothing blue burned? Isn't that interesting? Which is screaming evidence of the real cause of the inferno, DEW, directed energy weapon, which explains why the intensive heat in one spot while the tree next to the to that site was spared. They didn't aim the energy at the tree. It explains why the nearby rich and famous homes were mysteriously unharmed. Oprah Winfrey and Jeff Bezos' homes were unharmed. Coinky dink or plan? Then you look at who the governor is and what he has had in his planning along the way prior to the fire. Josh Green becomes governor December 5th, 2022. Oh, the Josh Green connected to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum? Yeah, that Josh Green. Oh, the Josh Green funded by Soros monies? Yes, that Josh Green. The one planning to make Hawaii the first smart state? Yeah, that Josh Green. Passing bills backstage and immediately upon the arrival, his arrival to that office to grab this burned out land from the native Hawaiian community and have BlackRock and his team ready to rebuild. Oh, yeah. And don't forget the insurance backstage backroom deal last minute to not fund the victims, a little technicality that they had in place. So now those people lost everything, and the government has the compassion to send them $700 for each burnt out family. Well, all the while we're bringing in illegal immigrants by the thousands daily and completely funding them from the beginning all the way through. Shame on America. Satan is in position of power in high places, running not only the world, but even our country. You need to go to Peggy Hall. I'll say it again, Peggy Hall and the Healthy American. Let me say it again, Peggy Hall and the Healthy American, to get all the filthy details of this sinister plan. When you do your homework, you always see the same old people. Soros, Schwab, Gates, World Economic Forum, United Nations, always carrying out their Agenda 2030 to depopulate the planet, to greatly cut back global food supplies and centralize control of the populace. So why would they do this in Maui? Because they are pawns of Satan? They do the will of their father, who's a murderer from the beginning. They do it because they can. They do it to flex their muscle and foment fear among the populace. If they could do it there, they could do it anywhere. They do it to consolidate power and reward their parent companies. It's a trial run to test the DEW equipment. They knew it would all be found out, but they have no fear. They are confident in their lock on the mainstream media, their lock on most government agencies, and their lock on the judiciary. They're confident no heads will roll. They also do so as a smokescreen for the most sinister of their operations, pushing the Ukrainian-Russian-NATO conflict towards World War III and ultimately nuclear catastrophe, which we read about during the seven-year tribulation period, where one-third of the world population dies, where men's eyes dissolve in their eye sockets, in their skull, and the elements melt with their fervent heat. It's all brewing. We're living in the shadow of the Antichrist. They do it to centralize all of the banking into a centralized system, to unfold their universal personal identifications, their digital money. For their new world order to be in place, they must take America down. Never forget, Satan is a murderer from the beginning. Never forget, nothing happens by time and chance. Never forget, their expressed plans to depopulate this planet. Go back to the UN webpage and reread Agenda 2030 right from their webpage. They are not kidding. They have told us what their plans are and how they plan to do it. Reread Klaus Schwab's book, The Great Reset, The Fourth Industrial Revolution. Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum. Read up on their smart cities coming soon to a city near you. It explains Maui. Governor Green is on their team. Plans are to crush the global population through continuous wars, through famines, through vaccines. They've laid it all out in advance. As they plan to destroy this present world, they profess to be saving it from the population. It's the demonic plan. We see two-thirds of the world's population physically dying in that seven-year tribulation period following the rapture of the church. Will it be God's direct judgment upon the world, Revelation 6 through 19, or will it be just taking his hands off and letting man and Satan do it to themselves? I'm a little bit confused on that, but what I'm not confused about is the results. What will happen in it will be horrific, and we're living in the shadow of the Antichrist as I speak. Does it not seem odd that Bill Gates is at the center of the globalist planning, at the center of the vaccine movement, and getting richer with it all along the way? He brags, getting a 20-to-1 return for his investment in vaccines. He's at the center of the climate change agenda. He's at the center of the fake food movement, and now spraying almost all of our foods with seed-based preservatives, which I think is going to be part of the depopulation plan, poisoning the world food supply. I'm going to have a bigger garden next year. That's what I'm saying. Why would Gates and team be buying up hundreds of thousands of acres of U.S. prime farmlands and putting them out of production? They are serious about their agenda. They are exercising their plan. This far exceeds politics, folks. This is the demonic encroachment of Satan's new world order. The Western power of Antichrist, the revived Roman Empire, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, all happening while we speak right under our eyes. We're part of what is happening in the last days. We are living in the shadow of the Antichrist. Maui is just another reminder of who's doing what and why. All prophesied as to what to expect in the last days. Societally, as we prepare for our Lord's return, perilous times will come, and they are here. One more point of focus before I close out today's podcast. I hate to be a dookie downer, but COVID is coming again. Be sure, listen to the White House, listen to what Biden says and whatever they write down and he mumbles out. Listen to the CDC and the World Health Organization. Masks are back, baby. More mandates are coming. Lockdowns are brewing. COVID-1 was the greatest global power grab of all time. The world was driven by fear, and nations were locked down in about a two-week period of time. Those 2 weeks to bend the curve turned into 2 years of horror. Economies were devastated. Small businesses were crushed all the while. Big business flourished. untested vaccines were mandated. Turned out they didn't work. Turned out they didn't stop the spread. Turned out they were genetically altering the human genome. They were hugely dangerous. We were lied to. Death rates are now soaring among the young and healthy. CDC says all the previous vaccines and boosters give no defense against what's coming now. More vaccines, more untested vaccines are coming, and they say are necessary. This coming May, 180 nations are lined up to give power to the World Health Organization to control the world's medicine, as it were, to control mandates of new vaccines, to forbid alternate cures, to enforce lockdowns on nations. Is it all fits together in Satan's end time scenario? Globalism, Satan is tightening his grip. Oh, and there is a U.S. presidential election coming in 14 months from the time I speak this podcast. In my view, the globalists need mail-in ballots to have any chance to steal another election. They hate Trump, not for his haircut or his mean tweets. They know he knows who they are, and the treason to destroy that, the treason that they live out to destroy the United States and our constitutional republic. They have to bring us down to usher in the new world order, and Trump's onto them, as are the Patriot movement. It's game on, it's gloves off. COVID must come again to give them a chance to win this election. Fear porn must dominate the media once again, the schools, the political leaders. And a fearful people are an easily controlled people. Fear will be fanned mostly by COVID, in my view, fanned by financial pressures, inflationary problems, food issues, energy issues, and threats of war. They're going to fuel up the fear factor. What is needed? An answer man, someone who can settle the war issue once and for all, to reset the world on a financial steadfast basis, someone to turn things around, all the while Satan is societally setting up things for his world leader soon to emerge, the Antichrist himself. He's setting it all up right before our eyes. But we biblicists already have our answer man, and it's not Donald Trump, and it's not the Patriot constitutional revival movement. We have a savior whose vesture is dipped in blood, whose name is called the Word of God. Jesus will return for his bride to save us from the wrath soon to be outpoured. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes it crystal clear that before the Antichrist can arise, the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, must be taken out of his way. That's the rapture of the church. And then shall that wicked, the Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord, 7 years later, will destroy with the brightness of his coming. He comes back to save the church at the beginning of the tribulation. He comes back 7 years later to save Israel from the wrath of the Antichrist at the end of the seven-year tribulation period of time. All those biblical prophecies are going to happen in the very near future. And so we wait for the coming of our Lord. It will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Christ comes. We go. We go home with him to his Father's house. We celebrate the wedding feast of the Lamb. Meanwhile, back here on planet Earth, God allows the final 7 years on the Jewish clock, given in Daniel chapter 9, 69 weeks had expired, 483 years, 69 times 7, 483 years transpired from the signing of the decree of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, to rebuild the walls, Nehemiah chapter 1. From that decree, go forward 69 weeks, 483 years. Guess what? Messiah was crucified right on time. God stopped the Jewish clock. Jesus established his church, sent his church to spread the gospel. He comes again for the church, his bride, at the beginning of the tribulation, and then all hell breaks loose as the world gets the leader they wanted. They rejected Christ, so they get Satan. And there are 144,000 Jewish witnesses, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, go forth as evangelists upon the earth. We recorded in Revelation chapter 7, the mark of the beast is, the technology is already here for that. It's going to be enforced, and those who receive the mark will be damned, but they'll be warned. They'll have a chance to be saved, but it will not be a pretty thing. And so immediately after the rapture, church, the answer man steps forth from obscurity to prominence. The Antichrist has arrived. It says in the text, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, they shall believe a lie. What is a lie? A lie is the opposite of the truth. What is the truth of the rapture? The truth is that Jesus came back and took all true believers home to the Father's house. What would a lie be? That the wrath of God came upon the children of disobedience. God came and ended the lives. He destroyed those deplorables, as Hillary Clinton likes to call us who follow Jesus, who will not join into the woke social movements of our day, that will stand upon the exclusivity of Jesus, salvation by grace, one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. You must be born again or you don't enter the kingdom of God. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works. Like, oh, we're just deplorable. We have our ways. We are unbending. And so the wrath of God, the lie might be, has come upon the children of disobedience. Or another lie that I'm starting to gain weight with me, all this talk of UFOs, all this talk of extraterrestrials, I believe that's all demonic realm. God allows people to see occasionally into the demonic realm. Ezekiel saw it, chapter 1, flying vehicles that defied gravity, and they were man vehicles. Those, I think, were angelic. I believe, likewise, Satan has things that we cannot see into that demonic realm. I think I saw a little bit into the demonic realm doing LSD back in the late 60s and early 70s. I think people in the occult see into the world of that world somewhat, but there's so much talk at the United States congressional level, having hearings, all these things that were locked down, high secret things are being revealed, kind of bringing into the consciousness of people today that something's going on and we don't understand it, and perhaps that will be the lie, that UFOs came and took all those obstinate Christians away, those deplorables who wouldn't follow our new world order. So whatever the lie is, God knows, Satan knows, and it's about to be riding in. The Antichrist rides in on that white horse of peace, the first horseman of the apocalypse, Revelation chapter 6, signs the covenant, confirms the covenant with the Jewish people, bringing it about a Middle East peace like the world has never seen before. He looks like the answer man. He looks like a love guy, looks like a truth guy, very powerful with all the power of Satan behind him. He looks great, an angel of light. And then all hell breaks loose. The second horseman of the apocalypse rides in on a red horse of war. And all that peace movement that he initiated up front, it all goes away. And the vials, the trumpets of wrath, the seals of wrath, and the vials of God's wrath are outpoured upon this planet, Revelation 6 through 19. Man, it's almost here. Man, forget about the politics. Forget fear. We have no reason to fear. Study the scriptures. Dig in deeper. Spend more quiet time. Rejoice in the Lord always. We're on the winning team as we live out our days in the shadow of the Antichrist. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Do you have him in your heart? Have you called upon him? Are you seeking him with all you got? Or are you just a part-time Christian? You just hold on to a little scripture verse here to make you feel better at the holidays. Shame on you. Surrender. Throw up the white flag. Be radically sold out to Jesus. You'll not be sorry in eternity, but abide in him so that when he appears, you'll not be ashamed before him is coming. Are you ready? Hey, thanks for tuning me in. Appreciate if you would subscribe. My number of subscribers continues to grow little by little and getting about 7,000 to 10,000 listens a week. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning me in. Long to be a blessing to you. So until next time, God bless.